Thank you. Steamed up. I keep breathing on my glasses, and that's without a mask. That's better. Good morning, everybody. You see, I've made a mess at the front already. I've got no pockets to put this thing. Aren't we blessed that we can come together, and we will continue to come together just as long as we're allowed to, because we all know, oh gosh, how many hints have we had that we're on another lockdown from the end of next week, and then people have been leaking memos here, there and everywhere to say what's going to be happening. But until they say that we have to shut the church will stay open. Because I think we're probably one of the safest places to be. And there we go. All week, even in my sleep, I think, I've been singing a song that I used to sing a long time ago with the boys that's based on scripture. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's one of the first scriptures that I learned. It's something that when our sons were small, our three sons, I used to sing it with them. And we'd go round lots of the women's meetings, and I'd be standing there with my three boys, and we'd be singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then the boys would be delighted because they'd be given cake and sweets and pop for being so sweet, and they hated it. I used to have to bribe them with the sweets and the pop and the cake just so that they come with me. But there's one thing that I do know. Each one of my sons has that scripture embedded in their minds, because there is something about singing scripture that makes it stick even more. This verse is the culmination of chapter 6 in Jesus' longest sermon that is recorded. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a well-known verse. It's heard many times. I know that lots of times you would have looked at it and you say, "Yes, I know. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." But I want to look at it again. And to be honest, I had a cause. God prompted me to reflect honestly how I applied it practically to my life. And that's not in a way of beating myself up. It's not in a way of beating anybody up today. It's a way of building up and refocusing. If I read to you from Matthew 6... 19-21. Let's have a look. This is Jesus speaking. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Jesus points out the temporal nature, the temporary nature of earthly things and the permanence of heaven. And I ask myself, what's the most important thing to my soul? What's the most important thing to my heart? What fuels me? What fuels you? What gives you the energy to get up and live every day? What is that thing that drives you? And I thought, recently we are so consumed. We're so consumed with everything that's going on. Now this might be a bit tricky, because I'm trying to do an illustration here for anybody that will listen to this. I've got two jars here. Can you see, Lynn? Two jars here. which would represent our lives. Now, I know that a lot of you will have already seen this illustration. You will also have seen it done properly, because I've never done it before. As a matter of fact, for this illustration, Andrew and I were at the back of the church with a hammer breaking bricks today for this illustration. And these jars represent our lives. The first jar I'm going to be filling with the things that concern us constantly. We have so many worries. I'm filling this jar with sand. These are the little things, that we worry about, the little things that cause us to constantly be wondering how we're going to do this, this little worry here, this little nag there. Even to the point of when you go out and say, have I remembered to turn my oven off? There's so many of these little tiny thoughts, these little tiny niggles are the ones that come in constantly, just as you're going off to sleep. And they consume our thoughts. And then you have the bigger worries. How am I going to provide for my children this week? My money's a bit short. I haven't really got enough in my cupboard for everything. I'm a bit concerned about what's going to happen if I get that letter from the bank. Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do if the tax man turns up. I've got a bag of medium-sized stones and gravels. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a really dirty hand after this. And our lives get filled up. We can see the jar is filling up with things that we're focusing on and worries. But then the biggie comes, and your job is on the line. And my jar is nearly full. Your job is on the line. You start to have health worries. Your children are having problems. You can't do anything about it, but it's really serious. And can you see my jar is overflowing? And this is what our lives can be like. This is what happens when life happens to us. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. How do I practically apply that? Well, what you do is you do this in reverse. I'm now taking an empty jar of my life. And I'm going to put God first. And I say, God, you know, you have a plan for my life. We've just read that Jesus reminded people that everything that we need, all those temporal things that are so concerning to us, God knows. The things that we need are different to the things that we want. And when you put God first, I'm now picking up the big rocks, and you have that massive health problem, you're in danger of losing your job. I'm placing the rocks in there. There are big worries. You have big worries. You have a major family breakdown. Whatever big worry is affecting you, come to God first. Give it to God. Then you get the smaller worries, the things, the day-to-day things, the things that you think, are they really important enough? And you start to add those into your life. I'm filling the jar with smaller pebbles. And you think, my life is a struggle at the minute, God. But you know, even with this virus, how many of us are struggling with the thought of any of our loved ones getting it? With the thought of when we go out, is it consuming us? Because it can be, and it rightly has a place in our minds and in our thoughts. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then you've got the smaller things again, the little daily bits. And do you know what? I've got some pretty glass pebbles to represent these, because sometimes we don't even realise that they are worries and concerns. The little distractions that take our focus off God. The little things that we think, God isn't really going to be interested. interested in all that? Why would he want me to keep praying to him about that? And then you have your little nitpicking things. I'm now filling the jar with sand. And I can get an awful lot more in there when I've put God first. When I've sought God first at the very start of the day. My jar is now filling up with sand and there is far more in there than there was in my first life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can spend a lot of time focusing on so many things. You can become worried and distracted and consumed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's got the things that you need for your daily living planned. In verses, let's have a look, in 25 to 32, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. God knows the things we need to survive. Jesus mentions three things here: eating, drinking, and clothing. God's got it covered. Life is more than this. Jesus wants us to focus on God first, to have more than an existence. I know that to practically apply this takes will and discipline. But constant focus on the worries of this life will restrict the things that God can do in our lives. Because at the end of the day, we are not our own bosses. When you give your heart to Christ Jesus, you are not your own boss. And another simpler illustration that I brought, just in case my jar illustration didn't work. Have you ever seen a child trying to button their coat up? I'm trying to get my jacket on and it's stuck. You're trying to button their coat up, and then they do the first button up. Yeah. And can you see? It's not in the right place. And nothing else will follow on after it. And when you button up the first button in the right place, everything else follows through. It all flows through. A simple illustration. Everything else falls out of sync. What can be greater than God? What can be more important than God to be a prime focus? But I know, by our very natures, we struggle and we fight against it. It doesn't make you a religious fanatic to put God first. It's okay to be passionate about God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But how do you seek his kingdom? It just means where God rules, where he reigns, wherever God's rule and reign is his kingdom. We say the Lord's Prayer. Have a look at it in Matthew 6, verses 9-13. Jesus saying again, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Your kingdom come, your will be done. In my life, do I want my will or God's will? With my money, do I want my way or God's way? With my work, do I want God's way or my way? With my family, do I want God's way or my way? You can apply this to every part of your life. But seek first the kingdom of God. We've heard, or a lot of us would have heard the story of the ship on the seas in this dark and stormy night, and they see a light in the distance, and the captain sees this light, and it's on a collision course, and they say, send them a message. They send a message out saying, adjust 10 degrees north. And the reply comes back, no, you adjust 10 degrees south. And then the captain sends another message saying, tell them I'm a naval commander, adjust 10 degrees north. And the reply comes back, I'm third class Seaman Jones, adjust 10 degrees south. And the captain of the ship is like, we're on a collision course. And he says, tell them we're a Royal Navy destroyer, adjust 10 degrees north. And the reply comes back, and we're a lighthouse, adjust 10 degrees south. We can be in this debate with God. The God that never changes. The God that is the rock that we stand on. The God that sees the end from the beginning. The God that has known us before we were even formed in the womb. And we can be debating like this. I want my way. But the difference is God does not cause us to crash. But he wants us to listen to his direction. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is so good to us, he's so merciful to us, he's so faithful to us, that even when we're as stubborn as that captain on that boat, even when we are steering for disaster, he does not give up on us. This is the good news. For our sakes, Jesus was obedient to the will of God his Father. This is the gospel message. This is how we know God. This is how we can say, I've got a Saviour. We hummed this morning to a song, but the words are in our heart. How great thou art. In Mark 14:36. This is Jesus speaking again, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. We're saved by coming under God's will. God's will is no other way. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness does not mean living a better way. It doesn't mean upping your moral good. It doesn't mean behaving better, even though all these things are good. It's God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus, who was not a sinner, who was morally righteous, died and did a transaction. Our account was in great, great debt. He did a transaction. He took on our debt so that we could take on his moral righteousness. That righteousness of Christ in us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is in us. It's in you. The will of God, the kingdom of God, is in us. When we accept that transaction that Jesus Christ died for our salvation, to pay the debt that we could not pay, it's not saying become better, try harder. What it's saying is trust the Saviour who has taken all of your sin to enable you to live, not just to exist. Put your focus on God. He knows what you stand in need of. It is so, so hard to stand in this scripture. When you are struggling with your finances, when you are struggling with your health, when we are struggling with this pandemic, when we have got the worry of our loved ones being sick, when we have got things coming against us, and they would consume our minds. There's a scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, where it says we can become drunk on these because we're constantly feeding ourselves with them, like an addict. You can become a worry addict. It is not scriptural. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God has challenged me with this scripture today, even though it's one of the first scriptures that I learned. And it's been ingrained into me. He said, look how you're applying this. Just have a little look again. Shall we regroup? The point is, in life, whatever you do, you're going to be surrounded by worries. I've got lots of little things today. I was picking out this story of a trapeze artist, I don't know if this is true or not, who was training an apprentice, and they were practicing on the low wires. And then they go into the big top, and the apprentice sees how high the wire is, and he's terrified. He says, I can't do it. And the trapeze artist says, well, this is what I was told. Throw your heart over and your body will follow. Point is, in our lives, whatever has got our hearts, our actions and our behaviours will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. It causes your life to change. It causes your behaviour to change. And I've taken this from another illustration. If every day you had £86,400 deposited into your bank account, but there are rules. You have to use it all in one day. You can't go over that amount. You can't carry it over to the following day. And the good news is, the following day you get another £86,400, but the same rules apply. You can't carry it over, you can't have a minus, you can't have a plus, no overdrafts in this bank account. How would you live? Would you live differently? What would you do with that resource? And every day, 86,400 seconds are deposited into our lives. We can't save some for the next day. We can't bank any up. We can't spend more than we've had. We have 86,400 seconds deposited into our lives. And let me tell you something, a second is worth more than a pound. We can't change time, but we can change our priorities. God has been challenging me on this. Have you ever asked God, what's your will for my life? I have done, and then I haven't done for a long time because I'm afraid sometimes of the answer I might get. But why would God send you, say, you have to go to Outer Mongolia, where you could be chopped up into little pieces and cooked, I don't know, because that's the thing you fear most? God is our Heavenly Father. He knows the things we stand in need of. Are you just ticking over? Or are you still living? Because even though we're in lockdown, and we're going to be in a bigger lockdown again soon, we are not called to just exist. We are called to be the hand, the heart, the mouth, the feet, the love of Christ. We are called to share the gospel of good news in whatever and however way we can. Not everybody. everybody, not everybody needs to stand and speak. I struggled massively with doing this today because we haven't done it for a long time and I've always struggled anyway. But it is Christ in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his will in my life, his will in your life. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve someone else. Are you good at administration? Are you creative? Are you innovative? Are you hospitable? Difficult in these times. Are you caring? Are you listening? Ask God his will and use your gifts. Seek first the kingdom of God, his will, his lordship over your life, and his righteousness, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through Jesus Christ the Holy One, his righteousness in us. And all these things, the knowledge that our Heavenly Father will supply all our needs by his riches in Christ, will be added to you. It won't be what you want, it'll be what you need. And verse 34 of Matthew 6. I will read this and let this be our prayer today. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I can't remember whether it's in Luke or not, but what follows that is, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for your reminder that when we seek you first, you will cause things to fall into place in our lives that we have no control over. We try and debate with you. We try and control the way things go. We try and impress our will upon your will, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously. We are rebellious people. But you are a good, good Father. You are merciful and righteous. You are faithful and you are holy. And we acknowledge you for who you are. Abba, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place, for enabling us to have a relationship, for enabling us to know the will of God in our lives, for enabling us to know the kingdom of God is at hand, for enabling us to know the righteousness of God in our lives. Help us in this time of worry and uncertainty to know the one true thing that will keep us, that will enable us to live and not merely to exist. And that is, there is nothing that can separate us from God. We trust you, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I know that we shall be hearing different things tomorrow about what our lockdown situation will be. Whether or not that will affect churches coming together, I don't know. But we will continue to make this as safe a place as we possibly can. Nowhere can be COVID proof, but believe me, there is nothing that we knowingly could be doing that we're not already doing, because this isn't just
being cleaned in a few days' time. This is being sprayed and cleaned and sanitised when you leave. And then on Wednesday, we're coming in and we're doing it again. Even the floors have been disinfected. Because it's God's house and we're called to come together. And no man can tear us asunder from the one we belong to. And no virus can either. So there are birthdays. We can't sing happy birthday. It's Anne's birthday today. Anne and Alan aren't able to be here. But bless her if you've got a contact for her or if you've got any cards, we can get them across there. It's also Deb's birthday today. And in the week is Diane's birthday, she's not here. Next Sunday is your birthday, we can't even give you the birthday bumps, Mum. But the most important thing is that we can come together and see each other, albeit distantly. There is plenty of ventilation, the heating was put on last night. There's enough gaps through these doors to provide ventilation. The doors are constantly left open. And if it means that we have to open them even more, to stay open, we will. Just bring a rug with you. God bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and bring you peace until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Oh, that means you won't be going for a run. run tomorrow then if you're going to be... Yeah. You can't go for a run tomorrow then, can you? You're going to have to wait a couple of days. Yeah. You have to ease up on the rock climbing and everything. Save it till after, though.
Sorry?
How many days are we going? 2 days. How long could we go?